Blog Talk Radio.
And it is Listen Give Live. And today I am so excited. We're going to have Gene Wernheim here from the Shanghai Synergy and Chinese Cultural Group here. We're so excited to have her here. She's going to talk about the music industry, what it is to deal with culture as an entrepreneur and everything. And let me get her company name correctly, everyone. It's the Shanghai Synergy Culture and Entertainment Group. Also, the APR Synergy Shanghai Culture and Technology Company. This woman is amazing. She is an entrepreneur. She's worked in the United States. She lives in Sweden, and she works with China. And then she is married and children. I mean, like, how does she do it all? So without further ado, we're going to bring on Mr. Jay Logan. Mr. Logan. How are you doing, Mr. Logan?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing today?
I am doing fabulous, sir. I'm so excited about our guest and,
yes.
You know, what's going on today. You know, it's really like a lot like Samantha Rose last week with Ultimate Spatula. She created an amazing company. She has a newborn. She knows her boundaries. She knows when to, you know, what she needs to do as an entrepreneur. And I'm just so excited to have another person on like this who has just made a contribution everywhere she goes. I'm so excited, Jay.
Yeah, it's good to be back this week, and I'm very excited too, and this is great that we have another wonderful guest on here, and our audience is going to really enjoy her like I am.
Well, Jay, what's happening out there for Listen Give sound bites today with the news? I know we heard something about Jimmy Iovine. Share the educational information.
Oh yeah, Jimmy Levine is doing great with his business partner, Dr. Dre, and they, if you guys remember them, they got together on Beats headphones, and they made a lot of money. And we know Dr. Dre from his musical career, producing a lot of groups. Started the Black Eyed Peas. Lady Gaga came from that side of things, and him and Jimmy have been working together for years. So they have gotten together, which is extraordinary. They have gotten together, and they have donated $70 million to the University of Southern California.
What?
I tried to tell them to give it to Listen Give, but they decided to give it to the University of Southern California. And they've donated this money to the university, and it's great. They're looking for the new Steve Jobs. They're trying to develop a lot of the kids, and you're making them into entrepreneurs. And it's just wonderful that you know, these two guys can get together and donate their money.
I hate to put a little bubble out there in what you're saying, but now this is going to college students. Are they going to do anything with the high school students, Jay? Did they say anything about that?
Well, they didn't say anything about that. But I believe that the factions that are in control of the money will use it to, you know, take it to some of the schools to get kids to come to the University of Southern California. So I'm pretty sure somehow it would trickle down to some of the programs used to recruit kids.
I am excited about this. You know, I love news like this. Well, you know, without further ado, I'd like to bring on Mrs. Wernheim. And while we do that, Jay, can you give us a little bit more about, you have some more sound bites for us as well.
Oh, yes. I know how you are an Apple fan, but Samsung has really taken the lead in Android.
No. Jay, I have to interrupt you there. I am not an Apple fan. Okay. I cannot let you slide with them. I accepted Apple equipment, but that does not mean that I am an Apple fan. Ladies and gentlemen, let not my co-host lead you to believe that I am actually an Apple fan, because this is not the case, my friends.
Well, I'm not going to put that on you, Miss Gail, because I also know you are a Google fan. So I do know that. And Google is the founder of the Android operating system. And one of their third-party companies, Samsung, has just tore up the marketplace this first quarter. Out of $5.3 billion, they were able to acquire and make profit, $5.1. And they pretty much have almost made more than Google, you know, pretty much. And they're not even the creators. Samsung has a great marketing campaign. They have great products out there. And they're just doing really good right now. And my hat's off to Samsung because, you know, I want one of those Galaxy 4s whenever it comes out. And I'm just glad that, you know, the whole global market, it doesn't matter where you are. The world is just getting so much smaller. Everybody gets to play ball. And that's what I'm happy. I'm happy to see Samsung do good as well as Apple.
Well, I am too. Like, so I make sure that, you know, you don't put out there to everyone. Well, without further ado, I am going to actually add our friend to come on over. Is that okay with you, Mr. Logan?
That's wonderful. Let's get the ball rolling.
Yes, and please. Jay, would you continue to share with our audience while I bring Ms. Wernheim on? Hello? Jay, would you continue to share with our audience about the various news while I bring Ms. Wernheim on?
I sure will.
Have we lost you, Jay?
Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry, we're having a little
technical
problem.
Difficulties. We're definitely doing that.
I'm also excited about the 2013 to our audience Billboard Award. Excuse me, BET Awards. It's going to start in late June. And I'm just so excited about some of the new artists that are going to be on this show. One of the artists, he's not new. His name is Drake. He's been nominated for 12 awards, so we know he's going to be bringing some hardware home this year. He's from Toronto, and you guys know him. Drake is a really talented entertainer. Chris Brown and R. Kelly are also supposed to be performing. And then... what I'm really excited about, Gail, is Chris Tucker will be the host of this show. So we're going to be laughing.
Yeah, we are definitely going to be laughing. Well, Jay, I am going to now add our friend Ms. Wernheim, and everybody just be patient with us while we bring on Ms. Wernheim. I tell you, technology helps, but it doesn't help, Jay. Hello, is that Ms. Wernheim?
Hello?
Hi, Ms. Wernheim, how are you? This is Gail and Jay Logan, and we're from Listen Give, and our audience is just excited to have you on. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, too.
Well, we are so excited to have you. And, you know, we know that this is going to be such a, you know, an amazing opportunity for our audience to hear from you, especially, you know, some of the things that we're going to share with them from your experience as an entrepreneur. So, you know,
oh, well, yes.
So we wanted to know, Ms. Wernheim, you know, can we call you Jean?
Yes, please.
Thank you so much.
Mrs. Wernheim, I sound very old.
We know you're very young. And Jean, would you please say, this is Jay Logan. Jay, this is Jean.
Welcome,
hi, Jay.
Jean. Hi.
Thank you for having me. This is
I'm
exciting
glad.
For me, too.
Well, we're glad to have you, Jean.
Well, one of the things, Jean, that Jay and I wanted to talk with you about is we're so pleased to have you today speaking about your journey as an entrepreneur in the United States, China, and Sweden. So we'd like to ask you, how did you get started as an entrepreneur?
Oh, wow, that's a long story question. to be short, basically I've in the music industry, and the music industry is facing a big changes of the development. And as my old record label in Sweden was basically closed down due to all this new technology situation happening. And so it kind of like pushed me to think further, so what I'm going to do next, since my one part of my life seems ending, the professional life is kind of ending, and what do I want to do? And part of the reason I went into the music industry is I have a very long-term planning for myself, because I like the music industry and I have a lots of international marketing business experience background. So I really want to use this, a lot of my own experience, and I believe that there's a lot of things need to be done too. So that's how I really started this into my own music business with the few partners I have in China and U.S.
Wow, Jean, what is it like? What is it like as an entrepreneur working in the United States, then China and Europe?
What is it like? I'm not so sure how to describe that, because I'm sitting actually pretty far remote, pretty much on north on top of the world, on the earth, in the globe. And I have business partners in the U.S. And in the morning I wake up, I'm working one time zone. Talking to Asia, my Shanghai, Beijing offices, and try to make things smooth out. And then during the daytime, the European partners were coming in to talk to us, talk to me all the time. And then in the late afternoon, the U.S. partner coming in. So it's basically 24 hours a day's work. That's how it's like.
Wow. Well, you know, Jean, you know, one of the things I would like to ask you, is how, you know, what do you think we can learn in, well, before we go into that, what do you think we can learn in connecting artists from China, United States, and Europe together?
Okay, this actually is a very tough questions for me to answer, because I have been trying to working in this area for past almost 20 years now, trying to bring the East and West artists to work together. And I would have to say, after such a long years, the result is still very little and poor in many ways. But that doesn't really mean it's not possible. With the new technology and internet connections and mobile technology changing, things are just changing so rapidly. So that's one of the reasons I want to go into it to develop the platform that we're currently working in China. So recently we have our artists, just probably the example I can bring here is my artist, Ruhan Jia, is a Chinese artist. We were planning to take her to Madison, Wisconsin. I know it's unusual. The reason we want to do that to do a concert there together with an American rock band called Edison. And the reason we are doing this concert here is to test out our live broadcasting a technology we recently developed in Madison, Wisconsin. That's one of the reasons. And we were broadcast back to China. And then at the same time, the video can be, well, the concert will be recorded as a video, so it will be put online. And then that's one way to bring the East and West artists together through technology show. And then with this new technology we're doing, there's a lot of interactive program and encourage people not only in China but worldwide to interact with artists or with the audience in another part of the world. And that's a new testing here to see. That's hope that this will break the ground to bring this such a difficult task I have for the past 20 years to see maybe some kind of result.
Well, Jen, how does culture play a part in the music industry?
Very much, actually. I think mostly we all very clear understand is the languages very often will be the obstacle. When you listen to someone, oh, maybe the melody can reach you some way, but the lyrics part, if you don't understand it, it kind of cuts the half power away. And also the different culture has a kind of different taste in the rhythm or type of style where the melodies goes up and down, because like Chinese music is basic, doesn't have the same music scale as the Western music in the composition wise. So it's something that people are used to when you grow up with, or it's something that it's just so bizarre. Sometimes it's just created tension. It's play a very important part. However, again, the world is in a way is kind of shrinking due to the technology, and people are traveling so much, and people are learning from each other, and there's a lot of awareness of other cultures. So people are learning other cultures, and that's one of the great things happening now. Is okay, it's unique to be different cultures in that case.
What is it like for you as an entrepreneur living in Europe and experiencing that culture and then going to China and the United States?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. I would like to know what is it like for you as an entrepreneur living in Europe?
Yes.
And experiencing
uh-huh.
that culture, and then going to China
yes.
and experiencing that culture, and then the United States.
Oh, okay. I think that one of the this has turned out to be a big asset of my whole career, because having gone through at least three continents here, I would like to claim a little bit is I have a very thorough understanding of each culture and how Western thinking, American thinking, European thinking, and Asian thinking. And for me, it's very easy to communicate with all different kind of people. I believe, Gail, that's why you thought I was kind of different when we met in France. During this international music trade show, I felt I can talk to anyone, anywhere, even outside the planet, like feel like that way. And it kind of helped me to develop a lot of communication skill and very deep understanding psychologically or mentally. I can read people in a much better way. It's a very good example. Sometimes my husband's in Swedish, and when we travel, and he's talking to someone in Thailand, and then they're both speaking English, but they don't understand each other. So I had to be the translator by using English for both of them. So, and sometimes the Japanese business people came, and they were using kind of the very Japanese way of expression. And American were misunderstanding what they really mean, but I would be able to tell American counterparts, and no, that's not really what Japanese business meant, even though he said yes, but he meant no. So that's something I learned, and being where I am and my living experience and all this culture and context helped me to have a much deeper and easier way to do things. And that help, I think, is when you're building a business relationship.
You know, speaking of that, you know, when we look at, Jean, you know, this is something very important that you just spoke about. Because many people, as you know, they think that they understand culture from reading a book. But it's much different from when you're interacting with others. You know, this may sound like a very similar question, but it's very different based on what you just said. What are the benefits do you think, you know, with people having your kind of knowledge, not just in the music industry, but, you know, across the board in business in general, like being, you know, I think that's very powerful what you just said, that, you know, two people are speaking the same language, but they mean something totally different. What do you think the benefits of culture is in the music industry and across other industries?
Well, okay. A lot of music people like to claim that music has no border and can communicate to each other. However, sometimes it's still kind of like a very profound difference. I'm trying to think of example here. It's okay, for example, the Chinese pop, to every Chinese there, can bring the tear, can bring the memories to them. But the same sound when the Westerner listens, because not understanding the language and lyrics first. So the impact of them is they say, okay, it sounded like a whining tune. So, you know, because very often I sometimes, oh, isn't this beautiful in Chinese music? And then I play it to my husband, and he would just look at me and say, uh-huh. Okay, and then and sometimes when I try to bring a really strong rock music to my nephew in Taiwan, and he would just say, it's a little bit noisy.
Wow.
I don't know if I answered your question sense.
You did. Jay, do you have a question in that area? Because I'm sure you want to get into asking a question in that area.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, when you, I want to know what is missing in the music industry from that would support music all over the world, in your opinion. So what is missing?
I want to say, okay, being in music world, people think they're very open-minded, but very often they are not. And I find a lot of people just say, oh, I love music. As long as music is great, I will open my heart for it. But very often when they hear, oh, it's another language, they automatically shut their ears off. this has happened to me a lot, because I have to travel to all different countries to sell different music. And I have been selling the Western rock and roll to the Chinese, and I tried to bring the very folk Chinese music to the Western part of the world and try to convince them, say, oh, this is something that will be sold in your country.
Okay.
So, and I can see it just automatically when you play certain sound, and they just, after that, maybe a few notes, and they just, you can see their eyes and face are already closed. But there are people who are very open-minded too, but I think it will take time, because the music actually represents the culture very much too, so it's a very different kind of approach. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't really like the Chinese traditional music myself. But after that, living in the Western part of the world longer time, and now I go back to listen to it, and I'm very touched by this Chinese traditional music now. And I believe that there are a lot of people from my generation or from what the same kind of upbringing, background, would agree the same. It takes some time to learn and accept. So that would be my wish, to say this kind of invisible obstacle can slowly be removed in the future.
Gail, that's very interesting.
Really, truly blinded. Yes?
Gail, that's so interesting. Jean is a pioneer, because what she's doing is extraordinary. She's bringing all these cultures together, and when she's at the beginning stages of letting all these countries accept each other's music, and she said music is part of the culture. So, Jimmy, you're amazing. What you're doing is amazing. I don't know if I could do that because that's a big task.
I mean, I didn't know what I was doing actually. Since I was a kid, I liked to imitate people speaking. That's how I was able to speak English in one way, I would say. By living in different countries, I learned different languages at the same time. I can't say I'm fluent on it, but each language has such an impact, not only your logical thinking, but it affects, I mean, I don't know if you know that each language has a very different body language also. So very often when I speak... because when I speak English, my hands just start waving a little bit. When I speak Japanese, my hands tend to be just very tight to close to my hand, and I start acting like Japanese a little bit, and I start bowing. And if I'm doing French, and my shoulder just keep on raising up, and my lips start pouting. So it's kind of interesting and fun thing for me to learn. And I like to observe people in the very details, too. I mean, from the way that you dress and it will affect, and then how they listen to music and how they move with the music. All those kind of things are part of the understanding and knowledge as well. So it's very fun, actually. I think a lot of people are actually doing it without knowing it. And I started that way, too.
Well, that's interesting. You know, Jean, what really hit me, and I don't know, Jay, if you heard that very important part that Jean spoke of, is that because I know that in Japan, body language is very important. And in certain cultures, body language is important. It could even actually... be very offensive depending on your body language in certain cultures. And I think that's important for people to note that while we are all human beings, there's a way in business that we could function and actually lose business based on our way of being with the other person. So my question to you is, what would you like to see happen around the world in business, in tech, in general? Like, what are some of the things, you know, just culturally wise and otherwise, you'd like to see entrepreneurs take on, whether they're in the business area or the tech area, that you think that a lot of them make mistakes in?
The last part of this question, a lot of them what?
In other words, a lot of people make mistakes as entrepreneurs in business and tech. And what would you like to see happen around the world with regard to business and technology and how people connect and communicate with one another?
That seems to have a lot of part of the answers I have to think about. I would like to see, first of all, of course, the respect for the music creations and the artists of hardworking, because that's the part right now, the most difficult part for my current situation is the piracies. Well, nowadays they don't even consider it piracy, because when you have internet streaming, suddenly it kind of rip off a lot of revenue or money earnings opportunity for the writer, for the artist, or for the music company. And actually, I was pretty sad that this last month I was in a seminar, and it's talking about the China market. And a lot of people there are from different fields, different product line, and everybody is very excited about the China market booming and talking about their products, the money selling, and how they can do it. And I was the only one saying, well, my product right now, it's not selling, it's a free. And that really made me really sad. It's because music is just such a thing that people can't live without. It's in life, and it's very important to everybody's daily life. yet right now the world seems not recognize the value of it and not giving the same respect to the creation too. So that's just something I would like to see. If the technology can help, well, it actually break the music, but at the same time, I do believe that with all the development, the technology will help to bring the music's value up to what it's supposed to be. So that would be my wish.
Wow, that's great. Jay, I think you had a question as well.
Yeah, Jane, I hear that you're into technology and into the tech industry as well. What is your company up to in technology? What are you guys doing?
We currently are I'm not a technical people, so I tend to have a difficulty to say it in a very technical way. Basically, we try to develop certain kinds of technology to help people, encouraging people to use music. For example, we have developed several different kind of media editing tools, including audio tools and the video tool that will encourage people to use the music to create something new for your own use or for sharing or for commercial purpose. And so we probably would launch multimedia editing tools apps. Very soon in China, and basically this is the steps is to help people to interact to each other and to use music, because music to us is not only just for listening. It should be used in anywhere, and we will provide tools and the platform for it to use. And the most important is not only people can do it in the front, that to create the new content or listening to something great music that we will provide, but the back end is it will have a copyright controls and transparent accounting system, and help the content provider to have the opportunity and right to receive and monitor the accounting the royalties transactions. And this is something we try to develop for the future, the music business, at least for China market right now.
Oh, that's great.
That's what my company's doing. Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. What do you think tech will provide for the music industry? And do you think, I heard you speak earlier about technology as well. So this is to give your full opinion that we would love to hear, Gene, on what you think the tech industry will provide for the music industry. And do you also think that technology takes away from the music industry as well in some ways?
The technology is actually part of the reason the current situation is kind of chaotic is because the music people were resisting the technology in early stage, and only take them quite a long time to realize that they can use the technology to their benefit. But when people don't like change too much, but this is a typical situation here. What's your question about how technology?
Yes, the question was, Gene, you said that we wanted to ask you because we heard this in one of your other questions, like, I get the feeling that you feel that technology helps the music industry, but in some ways we want to ask you, what ways do you think technology will help the music industry, and what ways do you think technology takes away from the music industry?
Well, I'm hoping we won't take away anything from music. It's like when I first came to the music industry, I was surprised the music industry people were so narrow-minded that they just said, we just want to produce CD and sell it the way it is, and they don't think about other things. And because I came from different industry background, and I would just say, okay, the toys, a lot of tech product line, a lot of electronic lines or anything. There's so many places you can put the music in. Why not just film, not just advertising only? And that was 20 years ago. And when I was saying stuff like that, and the, most of my music colleagues was laughing at me, they said, "We forgive you. You're not from the music industry." Because I would say, I hate the toys I bought for my daughter that's claiming a dancing machine, and the music was really terrible back then. And now you can see a lot of product line come with excellent music quality, and with the phone nowadays it changed the world so much now. So I see the technology create much more music environment, revenue for people to use and possibly to earn money as well. So it's healthy way, but it's going to take some time people to learn about it and to get used to it and to know how to use it wisely.
Very, very, very good point. And Jay, what do you have any questions in the area of tech for Gene?
Yes, I do, Gil, and I was just going to ask you what she thinks about. She mentioned streaming, and she was talking about the revenues for streaming don't seem fair. And I just wanted her to get a little bit more into why does she think streaming and the royalties aren't fair to musicians. Gene, could you tell us about streaming music on the Internet and why do you feel that they don't get paid enough, the artists and the publishers and stuff like that?
That's because of streaming nowadays. Very much still majorities you pay zero to writer or the performer. However, streaming, if we can look at streaming like what we did with the radio first came in, then if a certain part of the party would chip in a little money, because somebody's making money from streaming. so
right.
Just by sharing the part of it to the original creator, I think it's fair, and it's something possibly to be done. I mean, that's one of the reasons that we tried to build a technology. By streaming, you still generate the revenue for the content provider and the writer still. There's a lot of things you can share, but there's a lot of greed in many parts in these layers when the technologies come into play, and because most people don't really understand. So it's just kind of, actually the consumer thought they're getting free. They're not getting free streaming because they're paying for the bandwidth. They're paying for whatever the technology product line that in order to get a streaming. So but the thing is, none of those went back to the creators of the content, and that's why now it's so imbalanced in many ways. I mean, this situation is very much so in China markets at this moment. However, the industry there has recognized the situation, and the government now also listening, so they are start changing it now. So, like China's now recently, this changed the law that radio has to pay. Okay, this has been done in the Western world, but in China, this is the first time. And they start putting the charge for the radio airplay, the music, or even now they're even talking about streaming, they will have to be paid in some kind of format. It's not completely clear what's going to happen yet, but there are talk, and the governments are willing to put the effort to support this. And hopefully the China market will really become one of the greatest music market in the world in the next few years.
Do you have another question, Jay?
No, I just think that's amazing. My question was to you and her. Gil, do you think streaming is the same as radio airplay? Because I do think, I think that they should be paid the same royalty. Streaming is just like listening to the radio, and the companies that stream should pay the musicians and publishers the same amount of money. I think it's not fair. So I was wondering, what do you guys think?
Well, Gail, you
want to
answer?
I'm actually trying to think, you know, based on what he said, you know, that's a hard question for me to answer, Gene and Jay. It really, truly is a hard question for me to answer because, you know, radio streaming is also on the internet now, you know, has been for some years. I mean, you know, if you think about it, we're streaming right now, you know what I mean? From, you know, live. And, you know, the difference is that as a company, Jay and I and our team, we pay for it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
there is some payment, as you said, Jay, there is some payment for what we do. And, you know, Gene, I have to say, one of the things in speaking with you on this show, you are such a welcome addition, because what we're hearing from you is not only are you a record label, but you also care truly about the artists themselves. And that is such a rarity to be a record label and also care about the artists.
Well, how can a record label survive without the artists? To me, I mean, this is just like it's together. It's you need a heart, you need a body, you have a body, you have a soul, you have a that it had need to be together.
Well, I'm sure, as you know, the industry doesn't always look at it that way. And you know, one of the things I have a question for you and Jay, Gene, and that question
mm-hmm.
is: recently, YouTube announced paid channels. You know.
Mm-hmm.
That a user can actually, you know, this is in the last 10, 15 days, that a user can actually charge for their content, okay? Now, in the
mm-hmm.
case of what you're creating or what I or Jay would create around music and other things, I think that's great because now you can actually monetize. That may be a way of putting things out even for the Asian artists that you're speaking of from China to break into different markets, or vice versa, American artists to break in through the technology form that you're using. What becomes an issue is when we have people who want you to pay for basically junk, okay? My question to you, Gene and Jay, is now that we have a situation with YouTube where it's a paid situation if you want to charge,
uh-huh.
Gene, how do you see that moving forward where we don't get, you know, bombarded with content or even musical content that's not even worth being worth paying for?
Okay, I'm not quite sure the system they use. It's like you have to pay first in order to know what you want to buy.
Yeah, it's
more
you get access to the content. But the thing is, in some cases, Gene, you may not know what
mm-hmm.
you're buying because it's up to the user now if they want to charge.
Oh. Hmm.
So you may not know what you're getting.
Okay, it's probably certain kind of regulation need to be done because you cannot, it's kind of like a consumer law is developed to protect the consumer, that you need to have a way to certain law that you cannot say that you're selling not something that what you claim, that's one thing, and all you have is lousy qualities products that you can return.
Exactly.
I'm not sure how that worked yet, but generally I thought that for people, they should be able to have a way to review the product before they purchase. But if it's a pay channel, so probably the YouTube has to bear a lot of responsibility to how to identify the product line if this is exactly what they claimed.
What are your thoughts, Jay?
I agree with Gene. Some kind of moderator or some type of maybe fan review, and we rate it. And if it's not high up in the ratings, then you know you read it, and it has to be rated. It has to be rated or moderated by somebody to say, hey, this is good product. I recommend that you buy this, or this is terrible junk. Like you said earlier, please stay away from this stuff. Or this content is not good for children, or just, you know, they don't have to do anything. They don't have to rate these things and give it some type of PG rating. This is good stuff. This is bad stuff. They might be going too fast. So you need some type of moderation or some type of review board to look at this stuff, because I don't want to pay for stuff that's junk. And, I was looking at Amazon.
One thing is, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
What were you going to say, Guy?
I was looking at Amazon, and they have this new, where you buy Amazon money, and then Amazon kind of does the review of the stuff, and you just buy these little coins, Amazon coins, and then you buy product from Amazon. Oh, that's all. I just want to see that.
And so what were you about to say, Jean?
This has kind of come to a lot of people may complain in China that one of the obstacles the Chinese music developments are blocked is because of censorship. But at the same time, the Chinese censorship is very often also rely on the people who put the content up. For example, if we're going to release certain kind of music, we have to do a self-censor ourselves to make sure the content follow the country's rule and law and the general's audience requirement. So I would assume YouTube had to do something like that in order to continue their model. Otherwise, it will create a just totally, I don't know, it's the Wild Wild West, that's the situation.
Well, and that is very true. I mean, they're still talking more about it. You know, we have two more questions for you, Jean, and we want to thank you for being with us up until this time. Jana, you had one question for her.
Yes, I did. I wanted to know, what is your favorite charity, Jean, and why?
My favorite what?
Your favorite charity.
Charity?
Yes, your favorite cause or charity, and why?
Just kind of like if you like support breast cancer, or if you support helping kids, risk kids at risk, or even a charity, or just helping people in general. What do you love to help throughout the world?
For me, I probably this kind of got back to my earlier conversation with the girls. My daughter's adopted from China, and. And for me, I love children and I like to watch kids learn, and it really break my heart to see a child came to the world that was not able to survive because of a lack of money or the environment was not suitable for living. This kind of thing it touched me the most on how to support them in the long term, long run, not just by providing the money for one-time use.
Mm. That's very interesting, Jean, because one of the things that we know that a lot of people are not aware of, but India, some parts of China, some parts of also
mm-hmm.
Africa, has the largest
mm-hmm.
genocide of young female children. And when I say genocide, a lot of children, you know, in certain parts of the world, even in certain parts of Africa, children, you know, are abandoned either because the population is too much or mothers can't take
mm-hmm.
care of their children. And you really do mm-hmm. wonder, how can these kids be taken care of?
Yes, that's, I guess it's one of my dreams will be when one day, if I retire, if I still have ability, it's to help out to young children and provide not only just money, but lots of love and lots of education and a lot of experience and helping the kids to grow up. That's kind of like my own dream, that case.
That's beautiful. And, you know, one of the last questions that Jay and I both had for you is there any last words, you know, for people who wish to become entrepreneurs, especially, Jean, young people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of young people out of college who want to own their own businesses. What advice would you give them?
I would advise to learn and to be truthful to yourself first, not just because I think a lot of people come into the be own boss because they sometimes don't really learn to face themselves. What I mean is they think they're better than others.
Mm-hmm.
That's very often lots of entrepreneurs got into the business. Sometimes may work, but very often this kind of if you don't face yourself, be truthful to yourself, it's in the long run, it's really not going to work.
Mm. You know, that says a lot, you know, and one of the things I would like to say is, and you tell me, you and Jay, this is a question for you and Jay before we leave, is do you think, Jean and Jay, that a lot of times, you know, as much as culture can be different, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And when you spoke about being an entrepreneur, Jean, I think that that's something what you just said is universal.
Yes.
Yes. And so with something like that, you know, it's hard to even ask this question, but really for young people who are facing themselves, you know what I mean, today, what is the best way, Jean and Jay, do you think that young people can face themselves to be true to themselves?
Well, I think the best thing and the best way kids can be true to themselves is make sure they set goals and make sure that when they set their goal, they accomplish their goal that they're going to set. And don't set large goals. Just do one step at a time. A lot of times these kids, they get unfocused. So if they just set one goal, work on that, one baby step at a time, and just climb the ladder of success, that will keep them to be true to themselves.
Any last words, Jean, for you?
Probably. That's a very good advice. Do something that you know that you can do and try not to do something you know you actually had doubt or you, deep down you know yourself how much you can do. To be truthful to yourself and to set a goal that you can reach first. And that's a good advice, and I agree with that, and that will be the steps.
And, you know, the last part that I would say is, when you have people such as Jean Wertheim, who's, you know, gone out to get the experience of working with different cultures, even understanding different cultures, understanding not only the language, but the way in which people speak and the way they express themselves of those cultures, I think that's important for any young people who want to venture into working with other people in other countries. You cannot get it from just a book. You have to interact with other people and respect them and respect what they believe in. So with that said,
yes.
Jean, we want to thank you so much. You've brought so much and made such a difference on today's show. We really thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you, too. And really an honor and glad to be in this program.
Thank you. And we will definitely make
thank
sure
you.
That this is available to all of your colleagues and so forth. So Jay and Jean, thank you for your time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.